formal training, lawyer, he's not in law school, he's trained in law school. He was a musician.
He was a musician?
That's
Henry
right.
Rosen?
Played the pipe organ. And came from Central Europe Translation. Went to London on this musician. Yes. And he did have a career of playing the organ somewhere. He became dissatisfied with it and he left. He came to Alaska to this building, and told it because he discovered it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he studied law under Wickersham.
Oh, he studied under Wickersham.
I'm not sure that's correct. Then he practiced Fairbanks and Ruby and places like that. Wound up in Southeastern Alaska in November of the first legislature, 1913. And lived in, you know, practice law the rest of his life. He used to be a very old man.
Did he study under Wickersham in Eagle and Fairbanks? Is
yeah,
that where they were?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fairbanks. Fairbanks.
Did Rodin look for gold? Was he a prospector?
Yes, he was. He was. I think it was about that. But he did then, in a regular manner, sign on these young guys and you know, have so much to do, you know, make the bar, give them the courses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Set them up for examination and class. George Porter was one of them, and Walter King and another. No, I think it was Walter King, and I don't know about Walter King. George Porter, I don't know, I think two.
And Al White, yeah. What did he teach them? What did his, what was his course?
Well, he put together so. Uh-huh. And that's all I know. He won the Army lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, in Alaska, they don't have any. I can't. They only code they had the current code. The biological in Alaska in 1913. That was the time that you've seen that. Well, then the legislature talks about it, so it's 1933. It's a red book.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
No.
Rodin wrote that. I mean, Rodin entered into a contract with the legislature and turned down to codify and prepare that code and publish it. Sometimes referred to as the Rodin Code.
And those were all the laws governing Alaska up till 1933.
Single body prayer. Rodin was auditor, attorney general, and member of the Senate.
He really had the whole thing tied up. So he's training the lawyers, he's writing the law for the lawyers, and he's administrating it. Did any other judge besides Folta come out of his What was the bar exam like? I know you were just waved in, right? You didn't. Or
well, I'll tell you, I took it in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
The questions were prepared by the Turk Supreme Court, who also gave the examination and graded the papers. Certified by us and
And he wrote the questions?
Yes. Yeah. He read the paper.
No one ever questioned that.
No. No, it was done by the cook. And then they had some. And after that, too, they went away and asked about it for a while and come back out. No, this did not appear on the show. Mm-hmm. It was, but he's the other thing.
Yeah. What about in Alaska? Did you ever?
Yeah, when I came here with my Fort, then territory attached. That's not my website, not for that part, but I have a trip that required you to take examination, unless they had to keep show or showing they didn't live in practice in another state and similar laws. So I don't have some background. So that's the effect for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked for that to be done because I had better send them more up.
And
we accepted that in a good faith that mm-hmm. day was supposed to be out.
Had you worked for Senator Barr in Idaho?
No.
You just knew him. Did you work for the legislature at all in Idaho? No. How did you know him? Such a...
Well, he was Republican. I worked in the office of an elderly lawyer and elderly boy. At Greensville, Idaho, he was a very intimate friend of that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came north and part of the state, I just followed him there, come in and see if he knew it. I mean, I got to know him first through that, and I kept in touch with him.
Did you keep in touch with him while you were still in Alaska, too?
No, I got to know him.
You did.
I had most of him.
Mm-hmm. In Ketchikan, we were talking about the different lawyers that were practicing at the time, and you'd just gotten done talking about Billy Paul, the native lawyer who handled mostly native law, mostly with the native, doing a lot of collections, you said. Big business. And that he was active in the legislature. Another lawyer that you'd mentioned was Patrick Gilday. Was he political, active in politics at all?
Yes, President. Gilday had come to the country with the World War I as a Red Cross. Patrick had already been. Anyway, he was in some kind of station of pains. Military force, but they had them for Haines and this and not the Lions.
I'm not familiar with Haines.
Anyway, it's kind of a social argument, a social service.
Is this World War II?
No,
World War I. They had a station in Haines?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
During World War II, that's where the Idaho National Guard was. That's the National Guard.
In Haines?
Some of them, at least.
Mm-hmm.
They activated the group and put their first place in front of the army. My sister came in. They had a leadership for the place for them. Maybe they listened to the training.
So a training camp, is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For World War I?
No. No, wait a
That's World War II.
Yeah. Yes, it was. That's when it was.
Gilday was. So it was used for both wars. It was. Yeah.
You know, they, some kind of a correspondence to Washington. It's about time, I think. correct. So,
what do you mean when you say politically and otherwise?
What is acting in the local affairs?
Which party? Did he hold any offices?
I don't think so.
What was his practice like?
Well, it was small and bachelor. He was a in Calvary and a mission for the ministry for collecting the devotion. He was a pastor priest.
This is the 1929 one. What about George Grigsby?
I don't know about George.
What do I want to know, or what do I know about George? Well, I know about George. Most of the later things, you know, people remember him as very old and close to 90. I think I get that. And that he, and some of the things with Judge Diamond, people have told me that he's done in the courtroom, such as asking for the key to the men's room. Those kind of stories about George. But I really don't get a sense of his practice or...
Well, George Grigsby, I had a thing, 6 years, you know, in 90.
Mm-hmm.
His father and commanded a troop of cavalry in the Spanish American War. And the new traders by the San Juan Hill. He loved me so much. Cornish, I guess you call it.
A rough rider?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then the older he was appointed the United States Attorney. No, why? George went there too, but it was already more. I guess I'm he said, he was like Attorney General by 1913.
George or his father?
George.
George.
Have you seen this book that the guy who had written Bob Yarman published this year?
Who's who?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's your best thing. Both you and both you. His father was about to explain the point, but he's his assistant. I don't think George ever went back there much after that. Probably in the South East Mission, He's been on a bed. He was like an Attorney General. I think that was a partial term, I think. The law went into effect in big term.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a lesson to you.
Was he in Juneau at the time?
I think it was in
Nome. Or he's still at Nome.
He was in Juneau on that wave.
After being elected Attorney General?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Of course, he was in one of them. He had family. Mm-hmm. for the future meeting. But then after that, you know, when I came by to fix him, he said,
mm-hmm.
And he stayed there a few years, I don't know how many, and I went to June. And after 2 years, he came out here.
Why did he move around so much?
Trying to find some place to make a living, I guess.
He didn't have a lucrative practice?
No, well, he loves his family to let him do it. Maybe that's why he got it.
He liked bootlegging cases?
Yeah.
Was he good at it?
Yes. Oh, yes. He was very, very much fun. He was a hard drinker and gambler. All the financial troubles.
Did he come to your meetings at the Ingersoll Hotel?
Oh, yes. All our lawyers came to those. George, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is he doing well in Ketchikan? No. Why not?
Well, he had too many other things to do besides practice law. He never got around to it. He told us that would be all awesome things. He remembered beautiful things. And he did not do that. And maybe they'd known he'd been taking some large money to this, and maybe that's a large amount of money out of him. But he started that out of him. Nice fellow. He's been in trouble. I've been very intelligent and very eloquent. And I'm not thinking of it.
After the contested seat for Congress, did Wickersham stay, or not Wickersham, did Grigsby stay in politics?
Yes, he ran for delegate. These two, maybe three times. Mm-hmm.
Were there any other Democrats stronger than he was? Were there any other Democrats in the territory that were stronger than Wickersham, Grigsby, stronger than, have more of a following?
Well, Diamond was with Wickersham somehow later.
So it was just that the Republicans were stronger than the Democrats. Is
that right? I do think shifted the administration. The Democrats were in nationally wanting to hear by the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Vice versa. Just the politics maybe conformity.
Mm-hmm. Did the lawyers switch their politics too? I know Wickersham did, but did the other lawyers? Some did. Did you ever switch your politics? What was Grigsby, just staying on Grigsby a little bit more, because there's such a folklore about him.
Yeah.
Why?
He was entertaining power. Always make a joke, something funny in every way, which is like something funny. Yeah. Everybody laughing all the time. Joking all the time.
Did they have gambling houses? Were there
mm-hmm.
were there gambling houses where he would gamble, or would you gamble at your meetings at the
No. I wasn't gambling houses.
And George was at?
Yeah.
Were there any strict rules governing lawyers, saying they couldn't gamble or they couldn't drink or any kind of disciplinary procedures? Did that happen frequently? For what?
They did to account for clients' money, I think. Something like the word out of the receivers of Petersburg had to do something else out of there. Paul appointed a seal or an attorney of the court, and they just had fun. I don't think he ever got back then.
What year was that? So in 1947, Grigsby had an office in the Reed. Which is the Reed building?
No, it's where the Woolworths.
Oh, well, okay. That used to be the Oyster Loaf?
Yeah.
Downstairs?
Yeah.
So Grigsby always had his office right next to the bar meeting place? Is that what? That sounds like he's centrally located. Who's who? I'll have to get that. Okay. Oh, we were talking about William Paul and his suspension from the bar.
I don't think he'd ever reinstated. He's all trained. He's all being treated really good. All kind of screwed up witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he is. About the same time, folded this bar in and this is reinstated. Yes.
He didn't like him.
I don't know. I would. That must have happened.
Was that in the 40s? Did that happen?
I think the original was pretty before it was in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Who was the three-man counsel. You'd said that in a disciplinary proceeding,
they appointed
a committee.
No, they didn't have any committee.
Do you remember who the three were in Paul's case?
I shouldn't be. I didn't want to say that they had such a community. I know he was barred by phone, but that was the usual way of going at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember anything about it.
Was anybody else ever, were there disciplinary proceedings ever against any other attorney?
seminar.
I think we kind of drifted away from Jerry Grigsby in the meantime.
Well, he had a family, married for 3 times.
Three times he was married?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And with his first wife. And my father, I don't remember. I think he moved outside. Well, outside means that my family was dead. Living outside. Sure he was. Why and how, I don't know.
Grigsby was living outside at the time. Someone had mentioned that Harold Butcher was taking care of him for a while.
Well, they had him in the room here in the barn, so they just let him take him to him.
Oh, really? To take care of George Grigsby?
Yeah,
That's very nice. Did most members of the bar like the policy or dislike it? Or?
Well, I think Telling them to listen to it. The bar got bigger and bigger. The newcomers didn't know George. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have that. Probably not an impression of it. And that's it. He was officer.
Is he the one who helped institute this policy?
I think so. I can't tell you how long it lasted or what success it had. I just remember that. We never had one out of the while I was there. After I came here, I
What was her connection with Grigsby?
Just that she was a lawyer, lady lawyer. She would have known about that. She was very afraid of it. I don't know.
I know that Dorothy Oz Holland was Judge Diamond's law clerk. Were there any women in practice? Mildred Herman.
What? She was a student of Al White.
Oh, she was? Al White, the commissioner?
The commission. No, she studied law under Al White.
The marshal? So Mildred Herman studied under Al White? Somewhere I'd...
No. So that would be
Wilkerson. Yeah.
No. It would be Wilkerson.
It wouldn't be Wickersham, though. Wickersham didn't. It's very interesting that you say that, because I read in the bar rag, when Mildred Herman died, that she had taken correspondence courses with Wickersham, but it must have been Roden. Is that what you're...
Dorothy had a legal job, but Dorothy had a pencil or something.
Oh, okay.
She's a lawyer when she came here.
Right, Dorothy Holland. But Mildred Herman?
Not Mildred Herman. Mm-hmm. Well, Dorothy Turner didn't either. I'm quite sure she was on the legal side.
Yeah.
She's already admitted to Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
She admitted outside, she gave admitted here, I know she did.
Both Dorothy Holland and Dorothy Tyner were lawyers when they came.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Mildred Herman? Now, could she have studied with Henry Rowden?
I'm going to be right. Yeah, she was there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be right.
Did Wickersham offer any correspondence type courses?
Never heard of
any. Okay, back to Ketchikan. How many years did you spend in Ketchikan the first time you were there? That was right after you were commissioner at Hyder.
After I was commissioner at Hyder. Mm-hmm. Been there on April 1st, 1929. This is my first chance in 32. And I was pretty close. 33 sometimes.
Did you practice there till 45?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I had an office there until 1964.
Okay. Were you active in politics while you were in Ketchikan?
Yes.
In Republican politics? Mm-hmm. That? Did you run for anything?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
What? Why didn't you want to?
Well, I just wanted to prove a job. I didn't want the town of job.
Excuse me, I didn't understand.
I didn't want that kind of job.
Mm-hmm. What kind of job did you want?
Quite a lot.
I know you represented many of the canned salmon industry in the, like for when the wardens wanted to determine when to open season and that
yeah.
sort of thing. What about in the court system? What kind of cases did you handle there?
Well, it was generally tax and tax imposed on various races of business.
Mm-hmm.
And several other things.
Now, did you work on which side of the litigation?
Well, the same
so, the Indians were asking the for the land from the salmon packers, or?
Oh, yes, yes. I think the Secretary of Interior appointed the National Librarian on 1942, or the Secretary of the South of Nebraska, only the South of Nebraska. And I live in the South of the state.
How did you do in most of those hearings? How did you do? Did the salmon industry win? Did the Indians win?
I would say the salmon industry won. The salmon just kind of figured out to maintain a distance to it. And the first hearing officer would make a point and all the family officers said it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we fired them and brought them on to it. And then we revamped it. Cut down the amount of acres.
This is the we Department of Interior that's doing this.
Mm-hmm. We never agreed to it, and we never agreed to it. We never done it. We just made a decision. I'm sharing it. We haven't seen it, but in the book, I never did it. We have the butter, and then we didn't come in. I'm not making it very plain, I know that.
I know. I'll go over it with you then. So in the first decision, they awarded it to the Indians. Is that right? But they never implemented the lead, but they
awarded a large amount of land and fishing rights.
But they never enforced it? Is that what it is? So the other fishermen just continued to.
Yeah, I think they just wrote before.
Mm-hmm. In what year was this?
Well, come on.
Mm-hmm. And then in the later 40s, there was another.
Well, now the last name of the settlement act of the passengers. 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the litigation between those spasmodic lawsuits.
Who did most of the work for the natives?
Well, from the family of cousin. I put them together. And, they weren't too well organized.
Is that Karluk? K-A-R-L-U-K?
Yeah.
Is that what you're looking at? What it, can you explain that?
Secretary of Interior was approved, not set up. I went to Karluk every year for 9 years, or less than 9 years.
Uh-huh. Working on this litigation.
Yeah. Okay. And Karluk does not appear in the time of the case.
What is the case?
That's the popular name for the land of that Karluk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Right, Branch as a part of the fishing. And Hines was the agent in the sports fishing and fishing regulations. And so he knows the
What were
I never wanted to affect it in any form. We secured an injunction against Hyde because I was trying to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And that posture for the rest of it. And then I used it. And
what were the years? Do you remember the time?
In the 40s.
So would it be about 1940 to 49? Was it that long?
Something like that.
And Stan McCutcheon was on the other side.
He didn't take any part of the litigation. He didn't have a lot of it. The other side was the federal government.
Yeah. But he did a lot of the organization
of
getting witnesses and things like that.
Yeah.
Was he part of a law firm then? Was he practicing out of Anchorage?
McCutcheon?
Mm-hmm.
McCutcheon never practiced anything else but Anchorage, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the law firm, one time he was at least an officer here with me and Brager, D-R-A-G, Carl Brager, or something like that. D-R-A-G-E-R. I was in partnership with Nesbitt at the time.
Mm-hmm. Are these all Democrats? Did he all?
Yes.
They're all very.
Mm-hmm.
Why did McCutcheon have such an interest in Native rights? What was his?
That was in the past. He paid $7 million to build that full tennis field.
The 1971 bill.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But he didn't. Could he foresee that?
Well,
is that?
Well, that's not a bad question. I don't know if he's gone that far, but he sees that there's a lot of money, a lot of property involved.
Mm-hmm. So it was more of a financial endeavor rather than altruism.
Mm-hmm.
Did he get paid?
Well, he must have.
Mm-hmm.
I know the other folks, the other people, some of the sisters, they said, Paul, they had money now. They said, Paul, it's not.
So Fred Paul worked with McCutcheon?
Worked in the same field, same area.
Mm-hmm. But not together?
I don't think so. See, these guys were sticking out. These in the ninth regional corporation merged as groups after 20 years. Nobody ever had the natives on the same business. And everyone was able to build up the market.
So did the lawyers actually take natives of their region and say they're going to represent these natives? Was there a breakdown in that?
Well, the group of natives, that's a pretty exciting native. They read about this and decide they ought to get them, or somebody suggested them to the bar, you know, everything. And then they would enter into contracts with the natives. And they would facilitate the religion by helping the various ways of government. And they wouldn't actually participate in the police. And their behavior, yes, at least they would compensate on that theory.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, they had lots of work.
And the natives paid them, so that was.
over 7 and a half.
But that was later, wasn't it?
No, rather on some years, many years.
Was the $7 million early, or was the $7 million part of the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act?
I'm sure, yes, whatever the amount, I might be wrong about the $7 million. I don't think so. I think that was the figure. But anyway, it was a section of the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. The machinery sent in a mail up by the government to receive, determine the amount due.
What I'm trying to understand is, did McCutcheon get part of that $7 million, or was that way after?
No, it wasn't way after.
It wasn't?
No. I can't say it did. I think it must have.
How did you get involved in doing the canned salmon side of these claims? I mean, you were down in Ketchikan, and now we're up in Kodiak.
I was in Seattle, and I lived in the salmon industry.
From Seattle, you were doing it. So you traveled to Kodiak from Seattle.
Yeah.
Is that what you were?
I was off in Ketchikan, and then in Juneau, part-time.
I see. While you were still in Ketchikan, before you were doing all this long-range traveling, how did you set up the ties to become?
Trade organization composed of all companies that make all the companies that process both fish from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And they had formed for the first time a permanent organization. They had a paid staff and a small red operation. In 1945, I went down to worked for about 7 years or something. General counsel, the district director.
Now, how did you become the one to be picked?
I was coming in the Southeastern Cemetery. Before that, for the they were centered on the Fitz family. They were centered on the Southeastern National Cemetery. I remember this county that was located in Fitz family. They stopped living in the state down through like this.
Did you ever have competition from lawyers who had been representing canned salmon in Ketchikan or in the Bristol Bay area? Were they there too? Did you ever have competition from other attorneys who were?
I don't remember. Functions most of them weren't very familiar with.
Didn't some of the big firms like Faulkner Banfield and
They had a place in the picture to work. Certain local. Come in, Bob.
That's okay.
They were my friend.
Faulkner Banfield and
Robertson
Montagonista. Were they your friends from when you first gone to Juneau, or from your dealings while you were in Ketchikan?
Ketchikan, with the salmon.
With the salmon.
But after.
Did you travel back and forth while you were in Ketchikan between Juneau and Ketchikan? Is that okay?
I took on a job there. We was at the season when we practice everything, practice everything, seven, and that. And you went down in hours or days.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Seattle. I was working for the family there. I traveled back and forth on planes. All of us, particularly Southeast.
What did you do for the industry in all your traveling back and forth? What were you?
One of the things I've been doing is fixing seasons, regulatory process.
Mm-hmm.
Second, probably the largest of all, I had a section of the campus that I can't find set up exclusively on labor problems, union problems, negotiations.
When the military took everything you had, what did they do with it? What were they taking it for?
They were authorized funding to take it.
They had what?
50
of the boat?
And they run on the beach and
You mean they gave them to you while they were stuck in the ice at
Naknek?
What were they doing with all the boats? Why did they?
No, they don't say cargo and troops. Getting ready for the assault on the fishing. Some of them used for cruise. Our steamers were, just like this for the trip.
So you had steamers that they were requisitioning? And fishing boats, they were did they pay you for them, or did they just take them?
Oh, no, they paid for them. They say that particular thing for all the years. By and large, I'd say 75-80% of the Going back to steamers. In the spring of the year, when ships would come in, bring in cargo and crew, and then in the fall, they come back and pick them up. Well, that spring, Points further down the city. Then we got back in the fall.
So they would take them while you weren't using them, is that?
Well, we weren't even using them 30%,
yeah.
But they didn't have use for them. Yeah, they were from the contract with other companies that they did not perform.
How is the Alaska Steamship Company related to the Alaska Packers, the canned salmon industry?
Alaska Packers, what do you mean by Alaska Packers?
I might just be using terms I've heard.
Alaska Packers is the oldest and the largest salmon packer in the state.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about them, or you're talking about the industry generally?
The industry generally.
I don't know of any packers in Alaska Steamship Company. Alaska Packers are the customers of Alaska Steamship Company. The United States are the customers. No, you're talking about the industry in general. What about that? What was the question?
The Trade Association. Yeah. What was their relationship with the Alaska Steamship Company? Was it just as a client to use their steamship?
As a client in the public. At the beginning of the war, World War II, the salmon industry in California, about 95% of the Alaska Steamship Company south on the river. They didn't have anything on one way trip except the canned salmon.
Well, that's very interesting. So they no longer had copper at Kennecott? Or
they were closed in 30 years.
Did they ever buy into the canned salmon?
They were in it.
They were in it. So when did they buy in? When did that's the Guggenheim interest, right?
So the railroad in Puerto Rico in 1937.
Was he part of Alaska Packers, or was he just part of the Trade Association?
Skinner
and what?
Eddie Dewey.
They bought Alaska Steamship Company.
Right. They had a small steamship, small company of their own. They merged the two.
Mm-hmm.
The Northland Transportation Company.
Now, how are they tied to canned salmon? How are they? Did they own any of the canneries?
Yes, they had canneries in southeastern Alaska and at Bristol Bay.
Do you have to go? Okay. Did the canned salmon industry work together as one? Did they pool the revenues, or were they separate entities? And just how did it work? I know very little about the industry.
Well. Put together without always being able to see the ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it when I got my life. That was one of the principal functions that I had. I'm prepared. They worked as close together as they could without becoming involved.
Did you keep a close watch on Congress? Were you lobbying Congress for the to make sure that the antitrust laws were?
I wasn't sure about it. Tried.
try. Mm-hmm. What kind of things did you do? What did you? How did you coordinate it, or how did you?
Well, we tried to. Tried to work out some kind of a system with the Department of Justice. Tell us in a way what people do and what they couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Without coming in there.
Was it advisory opinion type thing? Is that, or was it more informal?
Mm-hmm.
More informal. Did you have a good relationship with the Department of Justice? When was it better and when was it worse? When can you, was it political?
I don't know. Most of that time I've been military. And they weren't too hard to work with. In fact, they were the ones that kept in front of justice all the day.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Oh, they are interested in the regulatory process and only conserving industry and operating and keeping it operating. Well, they're comfortable when they're doing everything. That time, as far as I can remember, prior to World War I or World War II, there wasn't much fuss about it. After the time.
And then after World War II?
Well, but I said the creature to Sam, and then Krim didn't have the conditions. Lumber product. Moved south into the
area. Did canned salmon get into the crab industry?
Some of the canned. I would say that tend to be more and more.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also questions we have in the Japanese. Answering the book today and largely contacting the State Department. And trying to work with them. So to work with them.
Were they hard to work with?
Oh. I guess not. I, one year in 36, 37, and then they came in. Much further than Mr. Bennett ever had before. And salmon is raised by the number. This is before I moved to raise the numbers about as best I could. And the State Department and the Department of Commerce was going to send a fishing. I'm going to send an expedition out there and look into it.
Mm-hmm.
I got a boat better out there. And our people in the industry have been surrounding the men that have represented the
mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't wait for the letter to leave for the next one. I'm just going to go to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go to the city. I've never been to the city for a few days. I don't know if you're there. I don't know if you're in the city. Good way to waste the summer.
6 weeks in the Bering Sea, is that what you were?
Well, this is a small place. Going out of the miles of the enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks wasn't all spent, but it was not even the last. I spent 6 weeks. The function took about 6 weeks. We were on the boat.
And you went down then from Is that your first time that you were going out to represent the entire industry, or to be a spokesman in a sense?
I don't know. That was really kind of hard.
In Washington, D.C. Did you?
Yeah. I was afraid I wasn't going to be home for Christmas. And that committee was in the State Department. Not every Tuesday morning.
This had to be exciting times, that was. What did they end up drafting?
A protest.
Did it do any good? What went out the next year?
We project the Department of State American government and Japanese government. They agreed to lessen their activity pending further discussion of the problem, and that's why it's been for a couple of years. Then the action was going to happen. Japanese were in the war. Three or four days and a week, I reckon we
So you didn't have to worry about the Japanese for 20 years?
No, didn't have to worry about writing notes on them.
There wasn't any enforcement, though, or anything, was there?
Sank the ship, that's what the North Fishing Boat, that's pretty good. They were destroying the fleet.
Well, the Russians did.
The Japanese did.
Yeah.
We were just writing letters to them. They didn't sank them.
They sank them. Were the Russians having the same problem with them?
Yes.
Yeah. They probably found it was a good opportunity to just take care of it.
Well, the ship, the boats followed the season, and the same boat was fishing Russian water. Follow the fish.
Yeah. Do they still do that now?
I don't think you can compare the systems in both now. Now the Japanese fish both in Russian part of the American watercraft company pursuant to agreement with the Japanese government. Otherwise, they would be quarters in that time frame. Almost anywhere.
Yeah.
We do the same thing.
But at that time, there was...
We put it out for 200 miles, and then the Russians got it, and we were doing the same thing. And then, I went to
Russia. You did? When? negotiate these?
No, I just remember a change in the room. They sent me over there and he sent me over there.
How does their industry compare? I think what I wanted to ask you next is, when did the canned salmon industry decide that they needed a coordinator such as yourself to handle their illegal affairs?
I was not the first man to represent.
Oh, you weren't? Who was before you?
His name was Van Hogenberg. He's not a last name.
Where was he from? How do you spell that? Van Hogenberg?
Hogan, H-O-V-E-N-B-E-R-G.
Okay.
He was there a couple of years, so started a couple of years ago. Yeah, I think there's impetus came to that also from the fact that we're going into war. Plus the whole salmon industry was based on the government supervision and operation in the course of the war. Put in charge of the Secretary of Interior. So he, every county had to have a license and they had employed so many people, so many men, had so many pieces of cans and so many boxes and stuff. And the Department of Interior had charge of that for the war. And they had an advisory committee, the agency of the Interior. And I was chairman of
it. I see. And the whole. Who else was on that advisory committee?
General Baker. I think there were seven.
Who were they? Do you remember who they represented?
Oh, they represented themselves. They were operators.
So it was individual, but with a company?
Yeah.
Individual companies. Do you remember which companies were on the advisory committee?
I know August Bushman was on it. He was the deputy chairman. And last year, he was chairman. I didn't serve on it last year. I was doing something else. August Bushman was an old time chairman of the USC's MA.
Was he from Alaska? Was he Alaska?
He lived in Seattle. He had lived in Alaska, but lived in Seattle.
Do you remember anybody else on that committee?
No, I don't. You see, we had there are places full of committees coming and going, and this is another one of them.
What were the different? Okay, got one question. Was most of the canned salmon industry coming out of Alaska? Was it most of the operations in Alaska, or were they? I mean, was that the bulk of where the revenue was coming from, or where was?
Oh no, I mean, I understand. It was composed only of Alaska salmon packers.
Oh, what?
Yes. Now, you might have had a canner coming that had a canner in Alaska and one in Oregon. They didn't have to be solely. But the responsible amount of revenue that the income assessments. We really don't have an Alaska sound producer in Alaska. It's entirely an Alaska operation.
What are these assessments? That for the military?
Is no. That, no, for pay my expenses. That's the outside tool for me. That's what makes it my real.
Mm-hmm.
Had a budget. An assessment of per case basis. Against the small packers who are members of the organization.
But it was only those that had operations in Alaska.
Yeah.
So did you only handle their Alaskan business?
Right.
What about the business that these companies had in Oregon and Washington and
they had somewhat similar, not as well, but they had committees and
so you were got as the most involved into the business
yeah.
end of
yeah.
Why?
Well, I think for one thing, the industry in Washington and Oregon didn't have the complex problems that we had in Alaska. We had fish trap troubles and cannery troubles and tax. Territorial taxation was a big feature. We were paying 85% of the state tax, I think they got some of this year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I'm supposed to do whenever we got out there was to get that off, get that spread out a little bit. I took care of herself and saved the part of that. We were the only thing to pay ourselves.
Why? But weren't there other revenue-making
Very little. Gold was tax-free.
Gold was tax-free? But most of the gold mines closed in the
right.
war years. Yeah. What about fish traps and cannery troubles? What did you deal with?
Well, there was a continual battle on about fish traps. All of Eric's busy again. That's another thing that differentiated from the Oregon, Washington. Traps have been hidden there for
mm-hmm.
years.
How were you able to keep fish traps in use in southeastern Alaska? Or in Alaska?
Well, by opposing legislation and regulations that prohibit their use.
Mm-hmm.
And I state legislature and my other groups closed and abolished.
Who are the ones who you usually came up against when you? When you fought to keep the fish traps in you?
I attended every session of the Territory of Legislature for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you meet a lot of people. And the principles are, I can't. But the unions always have their fishermen. Non-trap operating fishermen were the biggest.
Mm-hmm. Who represented them?
They changed nearly every year.
I mean, there weren't any lawyers that represented the non-trap fishermen on a standard basis?
No, I don't think so.
Nothing. So there was nothing as organized as.
Well, of course, they were continuing to attempt to attend. And that trap legislation offered, introduced, seeking expansion, we were trying to prevent that.
Who would introduce it? Were there any legislators that you could depend upon to introduce it at every session?
Well, they were the ones who introduced it. They were interested. They were attempting to abolish this trap,
mm-hmm.
make them unlawful.
Right.
We were attempting to stop them with it. allow them to continue.
Were there any legislators that would introduce legislation?
Oh, yes.
All the time, yes. To abolish fish traps. Which ones were the ones that Norman?
I don't know. The reason I remember him is because we were all his close friends. But we were never on the same side of anything.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I can't think back to that. Another matter of concern to the former president, that's what I worked for, was we were talking about the regulating fisheries, seasons, and so forth. That was a big part of the work, too.
Just to get back briefly to fish traps, because I know it's a hot subject. I've heard other people discussing it, and it's something that there must have been a lot of controversy about for a long time. How did you manage to keep it going? What were your arguments? It was outlawed in the lower states and things. How did you manage to?
Well, the principal one was that they were the revenue producers. Mm-hmm. We tried to establish contentment with this. By pointing to Oregon water, fish traps were abolished, but I guess they couldn't stand the burden of taxes that they were carrying.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't have any success about us, or anybody else to assume it. That was a big argument for us. These efforts to abolish fish traps, since the state had nothing to do with the regulation, they simply attempted to tax them out of existence. They weren't going to be the state now. There was a series of fights all the time about taxes, fish trap taxes.
They tried to tax the people who use fish traps out of business, is that right?
Yeah. Or like putting a $50,000 license tax on the trap.
Did they ever get one passed?
Well, when they got into the big money, they generally were found to be $1 million.
Who found them in balance?
He's trying to ask the court for them. I said, where would it be? So I just kept going about it.
Did you normally work on those cases?
Yes.
Who were the lawyers who worked with you?
He was with Bob Roberts and Bert Falk.
They were, so they also. Was it their firm or them individually?
It was their firm and they handled it individually.
Did Norman Banfield ever work on that?
Well, he did in later years, but then he didn't come to Fort Hall on a permanent basis to allow him to save him today anymore.
Till later on.
Yeah.
What about Monagle? What kind of work did the two of them do? Did they bring the case in the lower court, and then when it went to the Court of Appeals, did you do it, or how did you split
them? No, they all did it all the way. Usually wound up with three of us, back on the trial in the lower court.
So most of it was the cases that did come out of this, were they mostly on taxes and mostly tax cases, or
very large issues? Very large issues.
What other cases came out of it that you would work with them?
All labor cases, And I said, well, Robinson's talking to him, what's he doing after? Of course, you know, all these companies had, all these Seattle and Portland dispatchers, they had attorneys too, and they had the attorneys there.
Mm-hmm.
They were, to some degree, something they were participating in all this practice. I know somewhere in there, I think it was still Secretary of the Interior, we had a meeting with Nickers, and maybe it's from better than myself. For the purpose of trying to avoid some of the friction that was in the past. And we were trying to get your hands on people and trying to put in a lot of power. The abbot said, I looked and counted myself, he ended up in some cases, he said, you had 32 lawyers on it. I counted them.
What case was he referring to? Do you know?
The letter for them.
But it did all the Packers just take all their lawyers and put them on a case?
No, they frequently, there's a lot of jealousy and friction. Mm-hmm. You have the bigger cases where the general only ones are put in there.
Were you going to say jealousy and friction among the individual packing companies? Or? In there.
The lawyers.
Why? You certainly must know how to work with them, though. Even if you don't understand, you must understand them to some degree. I'm just trying to. You're the head of this. Of the Alaska, the Trade Association, and they all have their own lawyers, too? Did you have to coordinate the lawyers when you had
no,
a
that's,
case?
No, that's not a bad description of it. I had the lawyers coordinated because I could only keep that company in line by the lawyers were in line.
Mm-hmm.
I had that too, the company and the lawyers.
Were they easy to work with, or were they difficult to work with?
Well, they weren't easy.
Why not? What? Do they didn't like to take suggestions, or they didn't trust your word, or they wanted to do it all themselves, or what?
They trusted me, all right, but they didn't like the fact that I had the other guy's lawyers in there, too, see?
Mm-hmm.
There was friction among the lawyers.
Of the company?
Yes.
I don't understand why they would.
Well, part of it carried over from other activities, of course, I guess, they're competitors in business. I was fairly successful working with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
The people I had to work with trying to keep them away from each other's throats.
Wasn't the whole purpose of what you were trying to do to coordinate the industry so they work together and get the best deal for everybody?
Yeah.
I would think it would be to the, you know, the industry wouldn't want its lawyers fighting among each other.
No, they didn't do that. They were able to control them entirely.
Did they have suits against each other?
Yes.
What kind of suits?
Old brokerage cases and charter cases.
What kind of brokerage cases and charter cases?
Well, they're always in like the sales department, they're always in lawsuits for their brokerage and their sales company. Something I didn't have anything to do with.
Mm-hmm.
And they became very bitter.
Was there a set percentage that people had to have this commission, or?
Well, right in the midst of this, the Department of Justice, the Federal Trade Commission got into the act, brought up, along with the proceeding against the same issue. urinary infection and due dates and hepatitis analysis and the skin benefits of all. So I would go by that. And I know that approaching 30 oratory, oratory, I have to hire it. Every time I write,
I don't understand. You mean when the FTC was making regulations?
Yes, FTC was holding a hearing for whether or not they should make certain rules and regulations. And it would be appropriate to regulate sales. But in terms of the whole thing, I was interested only in the production of it. But there was a sales, angle to it. And I was actually, I did bring it up. Of course, I didn't prepare to have a basis for it. It was an operating problem.
So you didn't coordinate that sort of thing?
Well, I tried to.
Didn't work?
Well, finally got a compromise order on things, but not too bad. It's still in effect.
What was the order?
That's the same question that we
I don't know if I want to read the whole thing, but I'd like to glance at it.
Okay, I'm going to read it.
Okay.